We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to welcome you to another edition of My Music. The contestants being, as ever, John Amis and Frank Muir versus Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Marching and waltzing, a good combination. So here are some marches and waltzes for you to identify. John Amis, where does this march lead?
Leads to the drop.
It does. It does that.
It leads to the guillotine. It's the march to the scaffold from the fantastic symphony by Hector Berlioz.
True.
You know this wonderful way composers are very nice about other composers. Apparently Rossini was shown a score of the fantastic symphony, and he read it all the way through, and he got to the end, and he turned over the book and turned to somebody and said, "What a good thing it's not music, isn't it?"
Composers are second only to conductors, aren't they, in their fan club aspect?
Yes. Mind you, Berlioz used to call Rossini that gay, fat fellow.
Did he?
Yes.
Anyway, Berlioz it was, Symphony Fantastique. Frank, leaving marching, turning in your case to waltzing, what is rather special about this waltz?
It's pathetic. Pathetic.
It is, but it's pretty pathetic. Pathetic. Yes.
My friend and I were counting.
Yes, that's right.
And it's not 3/4 time. It's 6 7/8. Oblique stroke 4.
It is indeed in 5 time from the Tchaikovsky 6th, the pathetic symphony. Ian, yours really is a waltz. Whose waltz, please, and where is it to be found?
In the early days of this program, I used to really have real panic about the first identification round, and I have been known to sit at home playing all sorts of popular, well-known classical pieces in the hope that I would remember them and then come and you would ask me one. And I feel sure that that has an extremely familiar ring. But on the other hand, I've stopped doing this, playing the things, before I come, so perhaps I should start it again.
Ian?
Yes,
you know,
John.
Sometimes in books, there's a little note, and at the bottom it says Ibid, I-B-I-D.
Or see above, even.
Oh.
Meaning?
Have a go.
Meaning that it comes from the same.
The same as which of them, though?
Oh, well, it would have, I think, to be the first one.
Yes, it would, wouldn't it? So you would hazard a guess that it's the second movement of the Berlioz Symphonie Fantastique.
Well, if you say it's the second movement, Steve, I would never disbelieve you.
I would scorn to offer you any marks for that.
Well, I would scorn to accept them.
Right. Dennis, back to marching. Who is doing the marching here?
Certainly marching to a different drummer, aren't they?
Yes.
yeah.
Well, it comes from The King and I, originally,
yes.
Before it got mucked about.
The March of the...
March of the Siamese Children.
Would do. Do you happen to know whose recorded version it was?
No. No.
Well, fair
no, enough. It's not one I'd keep.
No, no. No. No, you've got the mark, because it was the March of the Siamese Children from The King and I. It was the Kenny Ball version, which had some success for a while. Here are some facts, little-known facts, perhaps, about Broadway. This Broadway.
Come on along and listen to the lullaby of Broadway. The hip hooray and ballyhoo, the lullaby of Broadway.
John, which famous Broadway composer studied under Engelbert Humperdinck?
Tom Jones.
Very good.
It's interesting, I think. The answer's interesting. The question is...
Humperdinck, yes. I think I have heard this, but I simply can't shake it out of my noddle.
Well, look, you can work your way towards it. A Broadway composer, I call him, but he obviously had his origins elsewhere on the European side of the Atlantic.
Aha, then it is possibly Kurt Weill.
Yes, Kurt Weill it is.
Would you really call Kurt Weill Broadway composer?
Oh, yes.
Well, you would, then, oh, in case I would yes. say Kurt Weill.
Dennis, yes, One Touch of Venus and all sorts of shows.
Did you ever hear by any chance, on the third programme once, they were playing a symphony by Kurt Weill, and the poor old announcer, he read out a lovely programme note saying, Kurt Weill was born in so-and-so, he studied with so-and-so, and then he went to America, Kurt Weill did this, Kurt Weill did that. And now here comes Gary Bertini, the conductor, to conduct Symphony No. 2 by Kurt Weill. A Weill!
Yes. He suddenly stopped paying attention to himself, didn't he? Yes. Half a mark to you, John, out of one. Frank, one of the greatest of Broadway lyric writers did a parody on the Roxy Music Hall, which included, I think, two memorable lines, which I quote, "It's a wonderland where everyone is Alice, where the ladies' room is bigger than a palace." Ask up, which lyric writer do you think that would be?
Whenabouts, was it? Is it the Cole Porter?
Oh, 20s.
Sort of, oh.
20s to 30s, early 30s.
Is it, could he have written Manhattan?
Yes, he could. He did.
Lawrence Hart.
Lawrence Hart, Barry Hart, wrote it for I Married an Angel.
Willie Banks.
Yes. Ian, how many theatres are there actually situated on Broadway as opposed to nearby?
Well, I feel that the chances are that I, of all the five of us, am the least qualified to answer this question because all the rest of you much-travelled people have been to New York more recently than I have. I have not been to New York since 1939.
When you sang Mother McCree on top of the Empire State Building.
The Rose of Tralee.
Sorry,
But I think I can claim to be the only one of the five who has sung the Rose of Tralee on the top of the Empire State Building on the full network, WHM, microphone and
have
sky.
A guess at how many theatres there are actually on Broadway, and why would I ask otherwise?
Dennis is rather confirming the suspicions of this very generous hint you're giving me that there aren't any.
None, that's right. Plenty just off, but none actually on at the last count I was aware of. Half a mark to you, why not?
Actually disputes that song lyric about there's a broken heart for every light on Broadway, isn't it?
Yes, there are plenty of lights there.
Plenty of lights.
Not theatres. Dennis, of one particular show, I read that Jimmy Durante headed a cast of 90 humans and almost as many animals. Which show was that?
Well, that was a very interesting show, actually. That was a Rodgers and Hart show called Jumbo.
That's right.
That Billy Rose put on, and it was a marvellous example of bringing all the talents to bear on something, and it didn't work because it had a book by Ben Hecht and Charles MacArthur. It had Rodgers and Hart. It had Durante. It had all these animals. It was George Abbott's first musical that he ever did. They had this enormous theatre, which apparently was the first time in America they ever did the sort of theatre in the round, because they built the stage in the middle. They hollowed it out and built the stage in the middle, and it only ran about 4 months after. There were good songs in it, though.
Yes.
My Romance came from it.
The production of all the talents, too many talents, perhaps. Yes. Billy Rose's Jumbo, 1935, Rodgers and Hart show. Here are some beginnings and endings, with a pause afterwards for you to supply the title. John, what virtually begins like this?
Mm-hmm.
ends like this. Rather a lot later, actually.
Told that sometimes the late Noel Coward used to use the expression, "My dear, that's piling Peleus on Melisande." And yes. That's what this is.
Yes, by
Debussy.
Debussy, the opera by Debussy, Peleus on Melisande. I said what virtually begins because, as you will know, there's a bit of sort of bass groaning
before that, which I didn't trouble us with. It's already Jusqu'à Près, I think it's called in French.
Jusqu'à Près. Frank, your turn. What begins like this? And ends like this.
A recording.
Too true, only too true, yes. The last chord goes on much, much longer than that. We truncated it. Oh, John knows, I think.
Is it Sergeant Pepper?
Yes! By the cringe.
you, Brutus.
Yes. Would you two care to change places? Yes, the Beatles LP, Sergeant Pepper, it was. Ian, your turn. Be a mite careful here. What begins like this? But ends like this. Slightly crafty one.
Yes, well, I have the advantage here of having taken part in a recording of this.
So since you haven't taken part in a recording of the one I was trying to confuse you...
This is the abridged Schubert in the form of an operetta called Lilac Time.
That's right. That last chord couldn't conceivably belong to a Schubert symphony, could it? Which, of course, does begin, but though in a different key, with those that same melodic pattern. Yes, Lilac Time, based on Schubert's music. Dennis, in your case, a film. What begins like this? And ends like this.
Never have got it if it hadn't been for that brass in the background. Singing in the rain.
Singing in the rain, yes. Singing in the train, it said on a list I saw the other day. That's right, you get the mark. Piano medley time.
Ah, bon.
I was playing through a recording of an old My Music programme the other day, and I noticed something rather interesting. That particular week, after each medley had been completed, the team on the other side commented that they'd known the names of all the tunes, and wasn't it just their luck not to get that medley? Well, now is their chance, because here are the same medleys from that earlier programme, but in reverse order.
And also a chance for you to have an easy week.
That's right. Yes, that's correct, yes. Medley number one, then. This one is for, this time, is for John and Frank to identify.
Thank you.
half a mark for each of these six titles.
I had to claim that we knew that.
You both... Order. Sorry.
Chair.
As it says in my favourite radio programme.
Minute Waltz.
Order. Yes. The Minute Waltz. Thank you, Frank. Half a mark. Yes. Next.
When you're young at heart.
Yes. Thank you. And the next one?
Rosen Cavalier.
No, the one before that. What, sir?
Wiener Blut.
Can't you? Wiener Blut, yes. Vienna Blood by Johann Strauss. Can't
Wiener
do
Blut.
That, I'm afraid.
Thank you very much, sir.
Then came Tulips and
then
Amsterdam.
Then came Rosenkavalier, as you said, John. Two more, please.
Tulips and Amsterdam came in there.
No.
But it did.
It was Chilibili Bin. The last one you don't know, do you? Under the linden tree was the last one.
Well, no, because you mucked that about.
Yeah, I did rather, yes. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Three out of six, 1.5 marks out of three.
Pretty good, I think.
Yes,
isn't
it? Pretty darn good, yes. And,
That's not
can
to
you
be a
imagine
flash.
The can you imagine the ovation if you'd got the six right?
Yeah.
To that three. Yeah. Here's the medley for Ian and Dennis. Did you get the first one? Yeah.
Overture to the Barber of Seville.
Thank you. Yes. Then.
It's a minuet in G.
Yes, although it was an E flat as it happened. Yes. Right. Bum bum ba 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 ba.
That's the cat and Peter on the wall.
Yes. Then.
Crest of the Wave.
Yes. Thank you. Bye.
What, Ralph?
Ralph Reed.
Ralph Reed.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Two more tunes.
The Continental.
Thank you. And the last one?
There's Nothing Like a Dame.
Six out of six, 3 marks.
Shall we go home now, Frank?
No. We really get down to it now, because this round concerns well-known songs or other literary creations. The first and last lines. John, if the first line is, "Help, Lord, help, Lord, help, Lord," what is the last line?
Amen, amen, amen.
Because it's...
No idea.
But of course...
But of course... it's a kind of convention with those things, you know. They start up, "Help, Lord,"
well,
and they finish up, "Amen, amen, amen."
You are, of course, right. It does end, "Amen." I don't know about the triple one, but it certainly ends, "Amen," and you've got the mark. Why not? The first line gives the actual indication. It's Mendelssohn's Elijah. Begins and ends that way. Frank, if the first line is, "Oh, sweet and lovely," what's the last line?
"Oh, sweet and lovely, lady be good."
Yes.
Well, it ends up, "Oh, lady be good to me."
Yes. "So, lady be good to me," yes, you get the mark. The song, "Sweet and Lovely," of course, has no "O" on the front of it. I thought you might perhaps opt for that. That's a different song entirely. Ian, if the first line is, "There was a long silence," what's the last line?
Bang. I haven't the slightest idea.
I'll tell you again. If the first line is, "There was a long silence," what's the last line? You really don't know, Ian.
No.
The last line is, "Promise me you'll sing Mud." It's your autobiography.
Oh dear,
it's
oh
absolutely
dear.
True.
Funny, I read it right through.
When you get home, pick up a copy, and you'll see that the first line of your autobiography, which is called "Promise Me You'll Sing Mud," the first line is, "There was a long silence." It is, isn't it?
Oh yes, yes. I'm talking to my father. I do remember
right,
that bit.
Yes. I think
great.
I think I've won some money on a bet with that. Anyway, back to songs. Dennis, if the first line is, "I was a stranger in the city," what's the last line?
"The sun was shining
yes,
everywhere."
Because it's the last line of a
of a foggy day,
foggy
in, London
day
town.
In London town. Yes,
that's my autobiography.
I have a, I have a musician. You know, it goes. I'll show you on the piano. It goes. I was a stranger in the city. I have a friend, a bass player. Whenever he hears a chord, he always sings. You know, whatever. It is. I was a stranger in the city. I was a stranger in the city.
We'll do that from now on.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. And so to the party piece. Four songs, four singers, or nearly so. About the first two songs, there's a sort of innocence. John, a North Country maid up to London had strayed with nostalgic memories of the oak and the ash. Now, that's a nice song. Can you render it, or part of it anyway? I'll leave you on a company.
A North Country maid up to London had strayed, although with her nature it did not agree. She wept and she sighed and... She wept and she sighed and she bitterly cried. I wish once again in the North I could be. Oh, the oak and the ash and the bonny ivy tree, they flourish at home in my North Country. That'll be enough, I think. Just say that she'd been in London rather a long time, so she hadn't got a North Country accent. Okay?
Viennese next time.
Frank, I mentioned innocence. I was never kissed before. Can you manage a naive performance of
that? Can you give me a chord, please?
Yes, that
one. I was a stranger in the city.
Straight into it.
Right. Can I just have a note, please? I was never kissed before in that kind of way. If you kissed me anymore, I would run away. We must part, but all my heart with thee you will remain. I was never kissed before, but kiss me once again.
Dennis, a little cosy corner and an armchair for two.
Clarice Mayne, yeah?
I was a stranger.
Give me a little cosy corner and an armchair for two. Somewhere with somebody there, anywhere will do. Give me an evening in the twilight with the pale moon above, and I'll find a little cozy corner in the heart of the one I love.
I have a nasty suspicion that you were right and I was wrong about that.
I had a letter from a listener who said that quite possibly this whole thing may be physiological, that instead of having an Adam's apple, I have an Adam's lemon. So that what I always hit is sour notes.
No, you were right and I was wrong. Definitely. I stand corrupted over that. Ian, I can't think how we've managed without hearing you sing this practically every week since the series began, Old Man River.
Oh, I can imagine very well. Because Old Man River is an extraordinarily difficult song for almost everybody because it has such a wide range. And it's rather like a fast bowler with his run. You have to start so low because it's going so high that you're practically off the pitch when you begin.
I plan to start you there.
Beg your pardon.
Old Man River, that Old Man River, he must know something. He don't say nothing. He just keeps rolling. He keeps on rolling along. He don't plant taters. He don't plant corn. condemned at Plansom is soon forgotten. But Old Man River, he keeps on rolling along. You and me, we sweat and strain, body all aching and wrecked with pain. Tote that barge, lift that veil, get a little drunk, and you'll land in jail. I get weary and sick of trying. I'm tired of living and scared of dying. But Old Man River, he just keeps rolling
time we were rolling along to. A victory, I see, without any sweat and strain for John Amis and Frank Muir. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schreiber.